I don't know what that was. There's a lot happening in the world of WWE right now, and we're slowly getting closer and closer to WrestleMania 40. But hi, everyone. Hello, all you Biconics wrestling nerds out there. And we are here with another rendition of the Friday Night Faction Review, your weekly WWE SmackDown review team. I am El Jefe himself, Mikey. Joining me this week is the Prodigy himself. You can also find him on Raw with me. Minnie, great to have you here.
Normally, I'm the one that's not here, and you're doing it with Professor, but he's not here.
Yeah.
So this feels weird.
It is. It is. So Señor Luchador still hasn't found Minnie. He's still locked in the basement, so we'll see how this upcoming week goes with all this, but... Minnie, no, happy
we
to
also
have
an agreement that if when it comes to SmackDown, I handle SmackDown, mm-hmm. and he'll handle Raw if he's out of the closet.
That is very, very true. Unfortunately, we are missing our third co-host, the Professor, who is currently being a wallflower somewhere.
Yeah, he set up this big old event and didn't realize he didn't know anybody there, so he's kind of just like, eh.
Is right. But we will have the Professor back with us next week, hopefully.
Hopefully.
But you know, this SmackDown, I will say, I think it was better in terms of where we place certain things, especially when we talk about the last 30 minutes of the show. So it was very nice to have all that be at the end, and we are still getting through certain things, so we shall get into all that now. So let's kick things off. So after we get a recap of everything that's been going on with the WrestleMania Bloodline storyline, Logan Paul opens up SmackDown this week.
It's weird that he opened up.
Right? And not to mention, it is Logan Paul, and your United States champion is opening up SmackDown, which was a nice change of pace. But Logan Paul is in the ring. He cuts this promo. That is essentially the same promo that he has been cutting the last couple of weeks. He's still looking for a challenger for the United States Championship. He is the best, and he is going to prove that to everyone. No one comes close to him. He's beaten everyone's favorites. And then he introduces KSI to come out, because then we unveil that WWE and Prime have signed a multi-million deal sponsorship to have Prime energy drinks, and we have a big old Prime bottle now in the center of the SmackDown ring.
Well, it's going to be the Prime bottle is going to be the center of every center of every ring during every PLE starting at Mania.
Mm-hmm. So we got a little preview of what that's going to look like, and I was like, it's a $1 million corporation. They have their sponsorships. I mean, heck, we got Sol Ruka in the Cinnamon Toast Crunch Crust costume last year.
Her parents are nice people, by the way.
Her parents are nice people. We got to chat with them. They're very lovely individuals. And I'm super happy because now she's back from injury. She re-debuted this past Tuesday on NXT by helping Fallon Henley out get a win over on Blair Davenport. So happy to see Sol back. Now I just need Wendy Chu to come back and then we're all good. So that's the first part. So KSI and Logan Paul are in the ring. And then Randy Orton's music hit. Bless you.
Oh, I meant to mute that. Oh, I missed it. I missed the button.
It's all good. It happens. Randy Orton comes out. Well, his music hits, and then KSI and Logan Paul are looking. Randy slithers in from out of their viewpoint, tries to hit Logan with an RKO because Randy is still upset about what Logan did at Elimination Chamber. So he gets out of the way. And poor KSI is just left in the ring.
And he knew what was happening, too. He was like...
He knew what was going down, what was about to happen. And so KSI turns around and Randy hits an RKO on him. And we were talking a bit about this before we started, but KSI sold beautifully to this RKO.
He sold it fantastic. I was like, damn. He sold very well. Like, at Mania last year, when me and Mikey had the pleasure of going, he sold the spot where he was in the prime bottle, and he got put through the table by Seth, by Logan, when Seth pulled him in the way, and he laid there like half dead for the remainder of the match. And that was like halfway through the match.
KSI, for only being, you know, an associate to Logan and not doing this full time, he sold it beautifully both times. He sold it beautifully here. And then, of course, the overarching narrative here is that we are teasing and we're probably going to end up setting up Logan Paul and Randy Orton for that United States Championship at WrestleMania. And we, you know what, let's just mix this in with it, because after this happens, this leads it to a tag team match where we see Randy Orton teaming up with Kevin Owens to take on Logan's friends, our lackeys, so to speak, in Grayson Waller and Austin Theory.
It's kind of bummed we couldn't get their entrance, because I like their entrance.
When
Theory does the flexing and you see like Grayson Waller in the background like doing this thing, I always like that. We couldn't see it this week.
Yeah, this week we unfortunately couldn't see it. So this was your standard affair. What ended up being what I thought it was going to. The heels get a little bit of the offense in, but then KO and Randy come back. So I always say this, but I love that outside of Logan Paul, Austin Theory also sells very well too.
Mm-hmm.
He's such a good. And we didn't get a chance to talk about this last week because we didn't do a review, but shout out to Austin Theory for protecting Randy Orton in the match he had with him last week by covering his back, make sure he was doing good. I was like, this is a good kid to continue to train, and he is going to be a good hand to have the more he stays with WWE.
Oh, yeah. Theory is good. He's also apparently like best friends with Dominic Mysterio,
which is fantastic. And of course, again, I knew that Kevin Owens and Randy Orton pick up the victory here, but I always like seeing Grayson Waller and Austin Theory wrestle. I think they're fantastic. And surprisingly, since Theory has been paired with, you know, Waller, I've actually come to enjoy Austin Theory more than I did leading into his title bout with Cena at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? I still don't like his theme song, but I've been slowly enjoying Austin Theory more, and I think that's because he's getting over organically and he's not having a certain individual that, like, we shall not speak of anymore, kind of pushing him to the top of everything so quickly.
Which is weird, because normally he's like the opposite of what that man likes. Like, but he was pushing him, shoving him down our throats, but now it's no longer being shoved down our throats. Now we can step back and actually appreciate everything that he does.
Which
shitty entrance music aside.
Yeah. Shitty entrance music aside. So Logan Paul, after the match, comes out and he ambushes KO and Randy Orton. He tries to hit Randy with the brass knuckles again. Randy catches him and takes it and puts it on. And as Randy goes to kind of swing back to hit Logan with the knuckles, Logan gets out of the way and Randy stops himself because he comes ever so close to knocking Kevin Owens out with the brass knuckles. So can we possibly see a triple threat match for this United States Championship at WrestleMania between Logan, Randy, and Kevin Owens? Which I wouldn't be upset about if we did.
I wouldn't either. That would be dope.
Which, from a storytelling perspective, makes sense, because even though Kevin Owens lost the match at Rumble, he didn't get pinned because it was just through shenanigans and being caught with Logan's brass knuckles that got him DQ'd. And then Randy still needs to get back at Logan for what he did at Elimination Chamber. So I would be worried if I was Logan. If you have Kevin Owens and Randy Orton coming after you, you got to be careful. It's about to be game over.
He about to get wrecked.
Oh, it's going to be beautiful. And I really hope that we get that triple threat at WrestleMania. So that was a lot of fun. So then, Kayla Braxton, our host of The Bump and our local backstage correspondent, she has a sit-down interview with Bayley and asks Bayley, you know, how she feels about Dakota turning on her, what are her plans, what is she going to do for WrestleMania. And Bailey essentially says that it hurt. You know, she could see and she felt that Io, Asuka, and Kairi weren't fully part of damage control and didn't really respect her. But it hurt a little bit that Dakota turned on her because, you know, Bailey thought Dakota and her were good and they were friends. But that's not going to stop her because now she's going to do what it takes to make sure that Io remembers why she was the leader of damage control and that she's going to be focused on getting at Io, which was fantastic. My biggest worries was I was afraid that they were going to make Baby kind of like crying and be like, this is not okay. My friends hurt me. She's like, I understand it. I've processed it. It sucks, but I'm not losing sight of what's important, which is taking Io's title.
I like the booking decisions that Triple H has been doing of like, just because this person's babyface, they turned from heel to babyface, doesn't mean everything they did as a heel went away. He did it with Jay. He's doing it with Bailey now. It allows continuity to stay as a thing.
Yeah, it's not like we erased the history books, and I'm glad you brought that up because then what we get after this kind of is the second half of it, and it goes with Bailey's interview because we cut backstage and we see Naomi watching this interview that's happening between Kayla and Bailey, and Bianca Belair walks up and she asks Naomi what she was doing. She sees that she's watching it, and Bianca's like, Naomi, why are we watching this girl like make a fuss? Why is she crying? Is like, nah, Naomi tries to be the optimistic one. She says, I understand where Bailey's coming from. You know, I've had a group of girls before, and when things break down, it's not fun. And Bianca's not having any of it. She's like, Bailey created this mess. She made her bed. She has to lie on it. It backfired on her. I don't feel sorry for her. I said what I said. And what I loved is just the hint of heel Bianca when she told Naomi, she's like, Naomi, you weren't here. Like, you were gone, and so you don't understand how much Bailey has put the locker room through. And I love the ending part. She's like, I guess I have to say something nice about her, huh? It's like, well, I hope she has a fantastic match at WrestleMania. I don't know. I said what I said, and she walks off. I'm like, this was giving me hints of Bianca Belair from NXT, who is more heelish than face. But I love the continuity because Bianca says to Naomi, I understand you were gone, but I've been here since damage control became a thing, and Bailey has made it miserable for the women's locker room with damage control.
Oh my God. Yeah, that was, I liked it. Like I said, it continues that continuity push, but it's also showing the fact that like Naomi could also possibly be a friend and a helper against damage control, which helps her get on the WrestleMania card a little bit. So also I was so down to see a Naomi Bianca Belair tag team.
Oh, absolutely. Look, I just want more excuses to get Naomi more on television and on the ring. So any way we can do it, it would be fantastic. But I appreciated the continuity that these two segments did. And yeah, I agree with Bianca. I'm like, I kind of agree with her. Just because now that Bailey is a face that doesn't, like you said, it doesn't erase all the damage, pun intended, that she and damage control did over the last 2 years to the roster. So I'm excited. I think that I am happy that this seems to be the forefront story that we're building for WrestleMania outside of the Roman storyline, but we'll talk about more of the Roman stuff later because I do have, we talked a little bit about it before we recorded, and we have some suggestions of how we cannot have Bailey be overshadowed. So then we get into our next match of the evening. This is the almighty Bobby Lashley taking on Karrion Kross, the leader of the Final Testament. And this was actually a pretty decent for a 7 to 8 minute match that we got. You know, I was like, finally, there's nothing crazy going on. There's like no start and stop. There's like no, like, this was actually a match. And then as Bobby Lashley gets Karrion Kross in the ring to hit a spear, AOP comes in to cause the disqualification. So Bobby Lashley wins via DQ from AOP, and then everything breaks down. Bobby gets attacked, and Final Testament ends up standing tall by the end of this. So at least we got a match But I'm still trying to figure out, it's like, what's the end goal with this storyline? Because Bobby and the Prophets keep losing.
I don't know. They looked hot at the beginning, and B-Fab came out, and I was like, okay, they look good. And then it's almost like the AOP, like, no-sold those dives and just came back in the ring immediately and just went on the offense. I was like, so what was the whole point of even having those guys come out if they're just going to get no-sold?
I don't know. And we've talked about this multiple times before, and I don't want to rehash it, but I see potential in the Final Testament, and I like that we're trying to get Karrion and Bobby Lashley to do something, but the execution so far has not necessarily been the greatest.
Right.
And, you know, if it does lead to something at WrestleMania, I'm not against it, but we need to start picking it up because we got 3 weeks until Mania and we need to figure out what we're doing in terms of storyline wise for this feud. I mean, Bobby did win, even if it was a DQ, but I'm hoping that we pick it up as we go along. So I'm going to throw these two backstage segments because I literally forgot that this was also a thing. Because first, I'll just talk about it here. I forgot to write it in the actual order that it came in, but we had a brief backstage segment where Tyler Bate was playing 2K24. And he's like, it was very brief. It was very
I'm trying to
brief.
Remember when this happened. Like I said, I watched SmackDown at 12 o'clock last night after working 13 hours. So I was like,
because it occurred to me that this happened, but I forgot to write it, but I'm just going to throw it in here. So Tyler Bates backstage playing 2K24, and then Pete Dunne walks in, and Tyler is talking about the game, and then Pete Dunne is just staring at him, not saying anything, and then Tyler Bates like, you're absolutely right. I'm going to go talk to Nick Aldis and figure out what's going on with the tag team title situation. Hands the controller to Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne does his shrug thing and then continues to play the game. So obviously, we got to plug in the video game, which has been getting really good reviews from what I've heard.
I have to pick it up this coming upcoming weeks.
We got to figure out stuff to do for Biconics with 2K, which would be a lot of fun. Have a subdivision of BC WrestlePod Gaming. be fantastic. Then the actual segment that we got a recap of the street fight that occurred last week between Santos and Carlito last week, and we got the return of Rey Mysterio. And we kind of jump to the present day where Dragon Lee gets off the phone with Rey. So obviously we know him and Dominic are preoccupied because Dominic just got married. And so Legado del Fantasma literally just bully Dragon Lee and they kind of like push him to the floor backstage, which leads into the match later in the evening. It's nice to see Dragon Lee finally be back on main roster now that he's officially done with his stint in NXT. So he's back on the main roster. Woo. Which I'm happy. So there was that. Then we get our shortest match of the evening, 2 minutes and 10 seconds. Tiffany Stratton versus Meechan. Once again, the women's stuff is getting cut. This is a 2 minute match. It was what it was. I like Meechan. I like Tiffany. Tiffany got the win over here.
It's Tiffy time.
Tiffy time picks up the victory.
She's awesome.
We got to stop doing this to the women's stuff. Like, come on now. Like, 2 minutes?
I think Tiffany Stratton got her full entrance in.
That's very fair because nobody, like last week, Naomi didn't get hers and Tiffany got like half of an entrance last week because The Rock went over. So, prettiest moonsault ever for the win. Moving on. So we get a pre-tape promo of AJ Styles basically spilling out that he hates LA Knight so much he flew 30 hours to Australia to beat him up with a chair. And the reason why he did it is because LA Knight thinks it's hot stuff. He's been walking around, you know, the locker room saying that he is the phenomenal one when AJ in reality is the phenomenal one. And LA Knight needs to remember his place, that he is still new to this and he isn't a big superstar like he thinks he is. Which then prompts LA Knight to watch this backstage, and then he bashes the television with the chair.
He wrecked that thing.
Oh my gosh. I was like, that's a down deposit that we're not getting back.
Right.
In a weird way, I would love to see this become a chairs match at WrestleMania.
Make it a TV match. These TVs as weapons.
Seriously. A TLC match, TVs, ladders, and chairs. But I'm excited. Like, I wasn't sure at first how I would feel with the AJ LA Knight feud, but honestly, I'm actually sold on this. I'm invested in this, on these two fighting. AJ gets to do something at WrestleMania, which has been the biggest complaint of ours for the longest time, and he's been missing from WrestleMania for quite some time.
Him and Bobby were missing last year, which sucked.
I know. And then we get LA Knight to still be on the WrestleMania card, even if it's not for a title, which I'm cool with too. Then we get our next match, which sees Angel Garza take it on Dragon Lee. This was a fun match. This was lots of luchador stuff, continuing the story of LWO versus Legado del Fantasma. Dragon Lee with the win here, and he doesn't even get a chance to celebrate because then Legado del Fantasma jump him after the match and they beat him up and nobody comes to save Dragon Lee because everyone's preoccupied.
Yeah, he was by himself.
He's by himself. But like you were saying before, Minnie, I'm actually excited about the prospect of a faction versus faction match at WrestleMania, or at least getting close to it. Legado versus LWO, I think, is going to be fantastic.
Bunch of luchadors doing luchadors things.
Yes, and we really need a luchador style match for WrestleMania, because if we're not doing like what we did last year by doing a men's tag team showcase, I need men flipping and flying through the air.
The tag team showcase was such a good match.
It was so much better than it had any right to be. Because on paper, we're just like, well, all right, whatever. And then it ended up being really good.
Oh, so good. And the Street Profits got the dub.
Yes, which was very important. I was like, finally! It was fantastic. We get a backstage promo from Damage Control, which I really liked that Dakota is now embracing her heel role and has become the de facto leader now of Damage Control. And she and the rest of the girls basically belittle Bayley. And Dakota says that I'll see you in the ring next week. So next week we're getting Bayley versus Dakota. Maybe.
Bayley versus Dakota and Damage Control.
Yes. But I hope that we at least get somewhat of a wrestling match, because then I would be excited, because finally we get to see Dakota finally be cleared enough to wrestle in the ring. She's been out for almost a year on injury. And so to have her back in the ring will be fantastic. Then backstage, Nick Aldis goes to Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes' door to let them know that it's time to do the thing. They are not in there, and Nick Aldis is very upset, so he goes to look for them. We get our bumpers for next week, and then we get into the final segment of the evening. We have the Bloodline with Roman Reigns, The Rock, Solo Sikoa, Jimmy Uso, and Paul Heyman. All of them come out. Roman Reigns does his thing, acknowledge us, and then Cody's music hits, and him and Seth Rollins come through the crowd a la Shield style, which was fun. So now let's get into the important bits of this whole entire segment. So after trading some back and forth, Cody acknowledges the fact that they all should take the moment in at a sold out crowd in Texas. Rock cuts him off and just basically re-explains what the internet has already explained to us, but for the audience at home, that The Rock has proposed a tag team match for night one of WrestleMania. The Rock and Roman versus Seth and Cody. And the stipulations are, if Seth and Cody win, then Bloodline is banned from Roman and Cody's match on night two. But if the Bloodline win that tag team match on night one, then it will be a Bloodline rules match, which means anything goes. They all can be out there shenanigans. So which basically is a no DQ street fight, anything goes type of match. So as Rock is explaining this, Seth Rollins just jumps the line and cuts him off and tells him to stop having a midlife crisis.
Did you hear the diarrhea chants?
Yes, the diarrhea chants were fantastic too. And for those of you who are wondering where those diarrhea chants came from, you should check out our Monday Night Raw review, because that's where they came from. Seth Rollins.
Diarrhea Dwayne.
Diarrhea Dwayne. So Seth accepts the match on behalf of Cody, and we got the official graphic after SmackDown ended on night one. We are getting the Rock and Roman versus Seth and Cody. And we can talk about all the speculation, but because of that, I'm wondering if that's what maybe opens the show. And then you have Seth and Drew later that evening, and Seth is too tired.
That could be what happens, and that sets up Seth versus Cody come post-Mania, if Cody wins.
Yes. Here's hoping that Cody wins. And there's a lot of us in the Biconics boys. We have differing opinions. Most of us want to see Cody win, but there's a few of us that would like to see Roman retain. But I'm on the camp that I feel like Cody needs to win this, because I need redemption after feeling so disappointed on our drive home from night two last year from WrestleMania.
Tell me about it. Holy shit.
It was nuts. So then, once the match is accepted, Seth continues to go on, which then The Rock jumps in, tells Seth to chill out. Like, why are you speaking? Roman chimes in and says, "You gonna let him accept this? You gonna let him talk to you?" And then The Rock does the thing that he's best for. He runs down Cody. He gives him backhanded compliments, gives him accolades, starts talking about his family. And then The Rock hits Cody with the most disrespectful line of the evening, because he calls into question, like, Cody is the youngest and he is 20 years apart from the rest of his siblings. And you want to know why, Cody, you're the youngest? It's because you were a mistake. And I was just like, oh my God.
Then got slapped.
And then we get the meme that has been happening on the internet the last 24 hours. Cody has the mic. He tries to say something, and SmackDown goes off the air as Cody slaps the dog out of Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And that is how we go off the air for this week's SmackDown. Minnie, I got to hear your thoughts. So we are officially getting this tag team match for night one. How did we feel about this promo compared to what we got last week?
It was nice not having just like The Rock just like going way over time and screwing everything. It was good. It sets up everything that we need to get set up for the match at Mania. So hopefully we can put this on a back burner now. It tied everything up in a bow besides the little match. Put it on the back burner. Let the other feuds come out. Let them get their time. So we start pushing for everything for Mania. Because remember, Mania is 2 days. It's not just Bloodline. There's two whole days full of matches. We gotta set them all up. So I'm hoping this is a good start for what we need.
I hope so too, because this whole Bloodline Cody Seth thing, since it's happening on both shows, I feel that it's overshadowing a lot of what we're getting. And I'm wondering if, because of how big and how overshadowing this is, I'm wondering if they're starting to make tweaks to certain things. Because as of right now, we have this tag team match on night one, and then we have all four of the main titles be confirmed. Drew versus Seth, Rhea versus Becky, Cody versus Roman, and Bayley versus Io. So those are four big championship matches. So this upcoming week on Raw, we'll figure out who's our number one contender for the IC championship. I'm pretty sure we're getting Randy, KO, and Logan for the United States championship. Who knows? We have 3 weeks, so hopefully we'll get some sort of announcement of what we're doing for the tag titles at Mania. There's a lot that we still need to get confirmation on, so, and we got 3 weeks to do it, Minnie. Six shows until Mania. We got to get this right. Or at least have a semblance of what we're getting for, because it's crazy that we're 3 weeks away from Mania at this point.
I still think somebody comes back and tears more quads.
Oh my gosh, that'd be hilarious. And once again, Professor will make the weirdest prediction and it will come true. We need to rub that bald head for good luck.
Dude.
Seriously. But Dominion, that does bring us to the end of this week's SmackDown. So what do you rate this week's SmackDown?
Like a 6. It moved well, had everything it needed to do to get ready for Mania. Wasn't the most exciting.
I agree. I mean, this Mac again, I feel like this was like a filler episode, using anime terms. Hill, this was a filler episode as we're continuing to build to WrestleMania. But hopefully now that we have the official tag team match set for night one of WrestleMania, hopefully this will allow them to put this on the back burner until we get closer to WrestleMania to remind us this is happening, to allow the other stories to be built, because SmackDown, outside of Bloodline and Cody and all that, all their other WrestleMania stories are kind of being overshadowed. And we really don't have any real confirmation of our SmackDown matches for WrestleMania outside of Io and Bayley. But I agree with you. I'm also going to give this a 6. I didn't think anything was inherently bad. It's nice that we finally got confirmation we're getting this tag team match night one of WrestleMania. And here's hoping we can put that on the back burner to let the other shows and everything. So we shall see what happens with that.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So me and Minnie are going to get up on out of here. So a little bit of housekeeping before we do. You want to explore our YouTube page if you want to see more of our reviews of pay-per-views in the weekly shows, as well as our podcast episode. You can get notifications for us all over the social medias at BC WrestlePod. If you can't commit to watching our beautiful faces, we have audio podcast version of all our reviews, which is fantastic. And if you want to say hi to us live, some of the Biconics boys are going to be at New Jersey WrestleCon Saturday, May 18th and Sunday, May 19th. We're going to have a table there. Come say hi. Check out some of our merch. Talk to us. And please let us know why you're not commenting on our stuff. But me and Minnie are going to get up on out of here. So for myself, Minnie, the professor, and the rest of the Biconics boys, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, and as always, stay Biconic, all you guys, gals, non-binary pals, he, she, theys, and gays of the internet. We'll see you next week for another Friday Night Faction review, but until then, ta-ta for now. Thank you so much for tuning in to another Vibe Tribe production. What's going to happen next time? Well, you're going to have to tune in to find out. But until then, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, and as always, make sure that you keep the good times rolling. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.